Our gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew's gospel. We'll hear chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Hear the word of God. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. Well, in the coming weeks, we will begin to see the image of King Charles III gazing in the opposite direction of his mother on loonies and toonies. And recently, the Canadian Mint got approval from the sovereign himself to let this be what his subjects gaze upon when they empty the change from their pockets. And today, as people of faith, we affirm our allegiance to the King of Kings. Today, as I mentioned, is the last Sunday of the church year when we customarily proclaim and acknowledge the reign of Christ. And over the centuries, the church has come up with a variety of pictures, images, and even names of the one whose lordship we acknowledge and celebrate today. One of the persistent challenges, as I alluded to in our thoughts about our Christology and our understanding of who Jesus is and why it's really important for us to really focus on that, on who is Jesus. One of the persistent challenges is that we have to live with the paradoxes and the dichotomies regarding the nature of the one we declare as Lord. is Jesus the suffering servant, or is Jesus the conquering king? Is Jesus slave or prince? Is he peacemaker or sword bringer? Is he the good shepherd or the sacrificial lamb? Friends, Jesus claimed to be all these things. These are the traits with which Jesus himself identified. In our gospel lesson, which is often referred to as the parable of the sheep and the goats, we learn that the lines that define, they blur even more when Jesus, the servant king, understands himself to be one of the least of these, while he sits on the throne. The shepherd king, in the prophetic parable about the final judgment, teaches us the import of knowing and doing. The kind of knowing we see being demonstrated in the parable is about being in relationship, as in knowing someone and being known by someone. And the import of doing is the kind of doing that emanates from our nature or our identity. It bespeaks of our heart condition. You could say that what we do by heart. As Jesus' parable illustrates, we are indeed known by our heart. The legend is told of a desert wanderer who found a crystal spring of unsurpassed freshness, and the water was so pure, he decided to bring some to his king. Barely satisfying his own thirst, he filled a leather bottle with the clear liquid and carried it many days beneath the desert sun before he reached the palace. And when he finally laid his offering at the feet of his sovereign, the water becomes stale and rank due to the old container in which it had been stored. But the king would not let his faithful subject even imagine that it was unfit for use. He tasted it with expressions of gratitude and delight, and sent away the loyal heart filled with gladness. And after he'd gone, others sampled the water and expressed their surprise that the king had even pretended to enjoy it. "Ah," said he, "it was not the water I tasted, but the love that prompted the offering." Friends, many times our service is marked by multiple imperfections. But the Master looks at our motives and says, "It's good." How many times in school did you hear the words, "Sir, do we have to know this for the final?" Right? It seemed that the goal for many of us in school was to pass the final exam, right? And while some were content to pass the test, others were bent on acing it, right? the purpose of our schooling wasn't to pass the test, but was instead to learn and to become, to grow and to be prepared. And I remember that being so easy to forget when tomorrow's midterm exam was looming over my head. I confess that it was more than once that I recall praying, "Lord, if you're thinking of coming back soon, tonight would be a great night." Given all the imaginative scenarios of the end times and life after death, and heaven and hell and the second coming, I'm thinking now that the exams I endured in school were a cakewalk compared to the repercussions of the judgment. Not all the depictions that the scriptures and our seers and saints render for us are happily ever after in the sweet by and by, in my mansion over the hilltop kind of pictures. Right? Often our views of eternal things are shaped more by meeting Peter at the pearly gates jokes, or the poetry of hymn writers and Dante's colorful interpretations of hell, than they are by the words of Jesus. A little girl was deeply impressed by the pastor's sermon about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And that night after she'd gone to bed, she was heard sobbing. And her mother went to her to ask what was the matter. It's about the goats, Jenny confessed at last. I'm so afraid that I'm a goat, and so I'll never go to heaven. Oh, I'm so afraid I'm a goat. My dear, the mother assured her weeping child, you're a sweet little lamb. If you were to die tonight, you'd go straight to heaven. Her words were successful in quietening the little girl, and she slept. But the following night, Jenny was found crying again in her bed. And when her mother appeared, she wailed, I'm afraid about the goats. But mother has told you that you're a little lamb, and that you must never worry over being a goat. Jenny, however, was by no means comforted and continued her sobs. Yes, Mama, she declared sadly, I know that, but I'm afraid, awful afraid, that you're a goat. Friends, remember, in the parable, what our servant king asserts, and I'm paraphrasing, Jesus says, I'm going to be there in the end, and I'll be deciding who's in and who's out. A common and emphatic thread in our lesson and illustrations is the element of surprise. And I'm struck by the similarity of the goats and the sheep. Both appear to be oblivious to their actions or the lack thereof. The sheep had done a lot of good things, but were unaware of their goodness. The goats, apparently, had not done many good things, but neither did they know that they had not done them. It suggests that we will be judged for things that we had no idea we were doing or not doing. From the early 1800s to the late 1900s, Do you think the residential schools that housed over 150,000 indigenous children were staffed by evil people? No doubt some were corrupted by power, and others, I presume, genuinely believed they were doing a service that would ultimately improve the lives of the young people in their care. We've seen the effects of forced isolation from families, not being able to speak their own language, imposing a European Christian culture upon them. Would they not say, "When did we fail you, Lord? What did we do that was wrong? By the standards of the time, we were dedicated. We were humane, even kindly." In the early years of my faith and discipleship, I used to think that what I knew was most important. I better get my doctrine right. You know the four spiritual laws, get them down pat. Get the Apostles' Creed memorized, and heaven forbid, never find myself losing at Bible trivia. And then I was reminded that there is one whose theology is even sharper than all the Bible scholars and all the theology professors put together. And you remember, he played Jeopardy with Jesus in the desert. Someone who knew the Torah inside and out was challenged by Jesus. Yeah, the tempter, the devil, Satan, even used the scripture of all things to try and sway another's allegiance. So maybe having all the right answers isn't the most important thing in life and death. I used to think that what I did was most important. What I needed was to acquire some measure of success. I needed to reach some level of expertise at something, something esteemed by my community and my peers. You know, a few ribbons, a trophy or two, some certificates, a few dozen merit points ought to do it. Right? Was God keeping score of the good and the bad? Perhaps I could earn my way to heaven. Please know that what I'm learning now, however, is that who I am and whose I am is of the greatest importance. Then everything I do and every action I take and every choice I make are going to flow out of the person I am. And the person I am is synonymous with the character of my heart. And the one who possesses my heart is the one who rules my heart, the one who reigns in me. Throughout the scriptures, we're told that while we may look at the outward appearance of others, God looks at the heart. Jesus taught that the good we do or the bad we do comes from the state of our heart. And so we pray, heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Open us to recognize the image of you in ourselves and the image of you in one another. Lead us deeper into our knowing and being known, into the intimate relationship for which we were made. I used to think that the cosmic battle was between good and evil. And now I'm learning and remembering that in the end, what remains is faith, hope, and love. So the battle is really between faith and no faith. It's about the reform of the heart and the transformation of the mind. It's not about getting frenetically busy and doing. The critical question, rather than being, what will we do, should be, who then shall we be? Will we be those who know the shepherd's voice? Will we be those whose hearts are under the will and sway of the King of Kings? The earth resounds with a plethora of convincing and seductive and authoritative voices. The earth is home to a myriad of thrones before which we can prostrate ourselves. Friends, we all need salvation. And history teaches us that many will make promises and call for our allegiance and obedience. But there is only one who will not let us down. There is only one who deserves our allegiance. There is only one to follow. And paradoxically, he saves not by his power, but by his weakness. Not by his glory, but by his humiliation. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Instead of subduing us with force, our good and gentle shepherd, servant king, enters our lives, is enthroned in our hearts, and changes us through his abiding spirit. Friends, if we make it our priority to follow Christ, the upshot is that we get to know him so well that we begin to see through his eyes, hear through his ears, think as he would think, and respond as he would respond. And in the least of these with whom we engage, we get even better acquainted. So in these challenging days of disillusionment and often fearful and timid decision making, when we feel the needless pressure to pass the final exam, let us rest secure in the knowledge and experience of our servant King's eternal rule and reign in our lives and in our hearts. Let us pray. O God of sun and moon and star and sky, your wonder is beyond our imagining. And it's a wonder that you, the Lord of lords and King of kings, would make your home with us, all your sheep and goats. We thank you for the gift of this home, this world we share, for the common bonds that we share as your children and servants. Bless us, God, as we seek to find a way toward the peace that you invite us to share. Guide us, God, as we walk that delicate line between being faithful to our own relationship with you and yet remain understanding of those whose path is vastly different from our own. Remind us often that being faithful does not require that we close ourselves off from the faith of others. Open our hearts and minds and spirits to people of every faith and culture. May the mystery of your ways be the bridge that draws all of your children together in prayer for peace in our time. We pray for those who are in special need of your grace and healing today, for those who live in fear of violence, for refugees everywhere, for political prisoners and for those who imprison them. God, we ask for peace. For those who are grieving or hungry or in despair, for the lonely and all who are ill or suffering, for any who struggle with addiction, and for all who live with chronic illness, God, we trust in your power to be present with the suffering. And we trust your Spirit's power to bring comfort, faith, and strength where it is needed. And we pray, bring your radical, scandalous peace into our midst, and touch us all with your love, for we ask it in the name of the one who calls us ever forward, Jesus, our Lord, our Christ. Amen.